from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're really excited about this week. We're excited to prepare for the Colts' big-time matchup for us. So we're really looking forward to it. Had a really good day at work today, our first one, prepping for the Colts. So excited about, you know, all of our guys are out there, available, working. Excited about the work that we put in today.
It's a 1-2 count, and that'll do it. So this night mercifully comes to an end for the Astros. It was ugly early and didn't get much better as the night went along. The Reds have defeated the Astros 8 straight times. Houston's last win against Cincinnati came in 2016, the only team they haven't beaten in the golden era. Hopefully that changes tomorrow with Hunter Brown on the mound. But for now, the Astros have lost both games in this series and dropped this series to the Reds. Tonight's final, 12-5.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! What's happening?
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! Hey, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
The good and the bad. We got football. Football on the docket. Football in the buffet tonight. Football in the buffet for this weekend. And the Astros got shellacked last night by the Cincinnati Reds. As we welcome you into a Thursday edition of the show, I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. I hope you're doing better than Spencer Arrighetti this morning, my friend.
No, how do you think I'm doing? You know how Brandy is when the Astros lose?
Yeah.
Especially when they lose in the first inning. It's miserable for me. It's going to be miserable for me today.
Does she?
What time do the Astros play? Is it 10 a.m.?
No,
please?
No. It's close. Noon. They play. Yeah, they play early today.
Nice.
Does she stick around for the entire game after they fall behind 9-0 in the first inning? Is she flipping channels?
She went to bed in like the 8th inning, and I was praying for a miracle so that somehow perhaps they'd be all right when she got up this morning. So what was their record comeback? Was it 12 runs a few years back?
They
had that huge run. I was like, hey, sure they've pulled all their best players, but you never know.
They might
have a miracle comeback.
The person keeping me hanging on in that game that I blame for watching that whole thing was Adam Spillane, who tweeted last night. He's sort of our baseball expert here at the stadium. He's our Astros beat guy here, and he said normally I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but something to the effect of, you know, normally I would just go ahead and flip the channel, but I've seen the Cincinnati Reds play a lot of baseball this year, and they, you know, if there's a team that's going to cough up a 9-0 first inning lead, in Spo's opinion, it would be the Cincinnati Reds. So I stuck around like an idiot for 9 innings waiting for this comeback that Spillane tweeted teased at me. Never came.
The biggest comeback that I was trying to remember for Brandy, I could have used my phone last night, but they came back against Cardinals in 1994 from an 11-run deficit.
Okay.
In the bottom of the fourth. How about that?
Wow. All right.
11-0 in the bottom of the fourth, and they came back against the Cardinals.
I remember that team. You know, that team was known for its MVP first baseman, a youngster by the name of Jeffrey Bagwell. That was the year he won the MVP. That was the strike shortened season.
Yes. Also, he was known for breaking nerds' calculators against the wall.
Yes.
Sometimes people would like, hey, dude.
Telling the manager how dumb he is. Yeah. He didn't do that stuff.
If you don't think dribbler home runs are the way to win baseball games, then you don't know baseball. Yep.
Seeing eye singles. Let's get 10 of them, fellas. Let's go.
What really matters? It's not the math that matters. Yeah. It's this other set of math, like batting average and stuff that we use.
Right.
That's the whole. Yeah, it's not the.
Poor Bagwell.
I love whenever people go on their rants against analytics, they refuse to acknowledge the irony that they're still leaning on numbers.
Yeah.
Just more primitive numbers. Yes.
I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking about some of the conversations that we've had over the last few days, particularly about the starting pitching with the Astros and the poll that I put up as to who would start a decisive game 3 for the Astros in a wild card round. And Justin Verlander is getting kind of summarily dismissed in the whole argument. And I don't think it's a horrible thing that that's been happening. He hasn't pitched well since he's come back. He's got a month to straighten that out. Spencer Arrighetti having double the number of votes of Justin Verlander, you know, based on the last 3 weeks, is, I suppose, justifiable. I feel like last night, though, was sort of the baseball gods kind of recalibrating things for us. Like, yeah, dude won the AL Rookie of the Month. It's a cool story. He's not supposed to be here, and he's pitching really well. But let's settle down on saying, like, yeah, he's definitely the guy we throw into a playoff game over Justin Verlander.
He's had a few of these moments now where, man, you can tell in the first inning that, all right, things have gone haywire.
Settle down, guys. It's Spencer Arrighetti. Yeah, he's Justin Verlander.
We're the worst humans. We really are. It's like playoff basketball, you know. You get one rotation works one night, and you're like, how is he not running this for 48 minutes?
Why haven't we been? We should have been doing this all year. So Arrighetti,
I was about to get diverted off into Rockets talk. Look, it was a rough one for Arrighetti. I just that this is what you're going to get with him at times. He hasn't ironed out this erratic nature, and it got really bad. It got really bad to the point where you're bringing Taylor Scott in the first inning. He's not ready to go.
No.
He's not ready to go whatsoever.
He's probably wiping barbecue sauce off his face. He just got done at the buffet.
He probably just showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably kind of like strolling in with a Starbucks. Yeah.
You're in, Taylor. What?
Hey, this is where, and this is where, it's a shame that the term back of the baseball card has lost its luster with us because of the way it was used by the Astros organization. But there is a lot of truth to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to think about the back of the baseball card. It's highly, highly, highly unlikely that Justin Verlander would have an inning quite like that.
Right.
Even if he walked out there with an active stinger in his neck.
You need good pitching. You need good pitching in the postseason. But what you can't have is a guy who pitches you right out of a game in the first inning. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have that. Spencer Arrighetti, two-thirds of an inning, 6 hits, 9 earned runs, 3 walks, no strikeouts. He got knocked out. Now, he was not done any favors by Jeremy Peña, who, had he fielded a sharp ground ball that turned into a double, a bases-loaded double, if he had just fielded that, they're out of the inning. And it's 3-0, and you can stem the tide, and maybe Arrighetti gets his legs underneath him. Instead, it's a super frustrating play, and Arrighetti gets chased before the inning's even over. So we got to point that out, because Peña's not been great in the field this year.
It's honestly, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not on social media as much as I used to be, but I read articles, and are people just afraid to talk about it, that he's actually a bad defensive player this year? I mean, he's a minus defensive player this year. It's not just a freakish error here or there. That wasn't even chalked up as an error.
Right, it's a double.
But it's a play that he would have made in his Gold Glove season.
Well, he should make.
For sure.
Honestly, that's not even a play that a Gold Glover is supposed to make and nobody else. It was right at him, you know? It bounced.
It was a very, very makeable play. And it's just now, as of late, whenever there's a play like that, I don't expect Peña to make the play.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing here, man, where you do have all these other guys who are untested minor leaguers up playing on a playoff caliber baseball team, and one of your go-to guys for dependability just hasn't been fielding all that well.
So we have a text message early in the show here. They need to go to the tape because he had to be tipping pitches. Spencer Arrighetti, that is. Here's Spencer Arrighetti on that possibility last night.
I mean, I'll check, but I'm really doubtful. I don't ever chalk it up to that. It's I would rather just take accountability for it as is. I mean, if I was giving away information, that's on me as well. So if there is something, then I'll find out. And I've done it twice already this year. So if there is, I'll figure it out. But I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the right answer, by the way, was, you know, if I'm tipping pitches, I'm still the one tipping the pitches. Like, it's on me. You know, that's just the cause. I'm still the problem here, you know. That was accountability. That was good.
Yeah, I also think, look, he walked three guys. Yeah. It looked like the version of Spencer Arrighetti we've seen when he struggled like that with his command. And and he's got that tendency to, he just starts throwing meatballs when he loses his command. And he's been really good at reeling it in at other times. But last night was not one of those nights. There was that Astros pitcher a few years ago who realized after the season like that he'd been tipping pitches, but it was Wade Miley. And I still, you know, you hear that and you're like, I don't know, man. I feel like the Astros analytics staff and their film nerds are pretty good at picking stuff up like that, as well as obviously just the guys in the building, Jeff Bagwell, Alex Bregman. So that's an issue, I would love if that was the issue. I just don't think it's not the most likely explanation.
Here was Joe Espada on Spencer Arrighetti's performance last night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a competitor. He wants to, you know, he wants to do well, and he's been throwing the ball phenomenal for us. So you know, but it's one of those games where, you know, they're just taking good swings. You know, that's a club that puts the barrel on the ball, and they put, you know, they're tough at bats. They're tough out. So, you know, just not his night.
Main thing is they got to go get a win today, man. You can't start off. You just had a killer July, a killer August. You had the best pitching of the modern era practically throughout the month of August, and then you start off September with a sweep in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Like it's 162 game season. They got to go get a win today, man. You can't start off.
They
got to
get a
like
win.
That.
They're being helped out by the rest of baseball in general. Just about all the good teams are playing at a 500 clip right now.
Yeah.
The Orioles got run out last night, 8-1, I think. And as Michael Schwab pointed out on Twitter, the Astros have not beaten the Cincinnati Reds since 2016, a year in which they missed the playoffs. So I say thank you, Spencer Arrighetti.
Wow.
You've kept the streak alive. They've made the ALCS every year since they haven't beaten the Reds since 2016.
They haven't beaten them in a series or in a game in that time.
I thought he said in a game.
No, no.
It must be a series.
Yeah. Like that sounds crazy to me, but it could be right. I mean, for a long time, they didn't play all the National League teams every year. You know, that just started happening last
Schwab
year.
Schwab says the Astros haven't won a game against the Reds since 2016.
That's a crazy stat. That's wild to me. Even if they've only played like six times in that period, you know, like that.
Isn't that crazy though? I mean, it's
the Astros have been a 100 plus win team for 8 years, and they haven't beaten a janky ass Cincinnati Reds one time. Yes, that's crazy.
Don't make me say that. Don't make me say that's baseball to you, Sean.
That's the only excuse. That's not. The Astros are the best team in baseball since 2016, and they haven't beat. If you told me it was the Dodgers or somebody like that from the National League, but the Reds, that's wild to me. That's crazy. That parlay would. Let me tell you this right now.
It's eight games.
Eight games.
They've won eight straight.
You know
games.
What that parlay would pay, Mr. Nouveau Gambler? An eight game. If you pick the Reds, eight games against the Astros.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I bet it would pay like
200. Right, but that's what lures you in, though. It's crazy stuff happens all the time.
Right.
That's why you say it's just random chance. You're like, it's a 1 in 10,000 chance. I'm gonna put my whole mortgage on it.
Yeah.
And boom, it happens.
Wild. Yeah. That's wild, man. All right, we're off and running. By the way, the Mariners did win yesterday against the A's, finally, so it's 5.5 game lead for the Astros. There is no good news today. Have you heard the good news? Because there is no Astros good news. There is Texans good news. Really good news on the injury front. And we will have that for you coming up next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football tonight here on Sports Radio 610. Ravens at the Chiefs. That's cool. Season starting. Can't wait. Texans up to -3 spread in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Dude, buddy.
It's driven by the public fervor over the Texans, which is cool. It's nice to have the public on our side. Well, for this brief window of time, you know, at some point they'll turn to hatred, which is great because of success. Yes. You want to be hated.
Yep.
But for now, they're the darling. That's nice.
Patrick Everson, who's a gambling expert on Twitter, tweeted this last night. Lots of Texans action on the spread and the money line against the Colts. For those who are not indoctrinated into gambling, money line means you're just picking the winner. Spread, you got to lay the 3 points. Yeah. Lots of Texans action. This is a quote from Zach Lucas, who is the director of retail sports for Twin Spire Sportsbook. Quote, this is the biggest week one liability I've seen in the last 4 seasons. This will likely decide our Sunday. So the Texans, the books, the sports books right now, are on their knees praying that the Colts win this game or at least keep it within 3 points.
If you're somebody that hates sports gambling and whatever effects it may or may not have on sports themselves, then you are an especially Texans fan this week.
Yeah,
they could bring down Vegas. Damn it, bring them to their knees.
They could blow up the Death Star. The Texans are the little X-wing that's going to shoot the proton torpedoes at them.
It'll take down some small upstart online gambling. The house.
Right.
Not the big ones.
Not the big ones, but there's probably a few underground ones that are like nibbling, you know, chewing on their nails right now a little bit, maybe. So the Texans are, their line is moving up. The Texans are an even bigger favorite now than they were earlier in the week. The good news, they have a virtually clean injury sheet. We got our first injury report of the season yesterday. And the only name on it is MJ Stewart. He's out with whatever, I think it's a knee that he had at the end of training camp. So he was either limited or out. The big name that I think a lot of people were focused on was Will Anderson Jr. And let's flip to Will Anderson here, Ben. Will Anderson Jr. in locker room availability yesterday said he feels good.
Yeah, it felt really good, man. You were on the team again, man, and just last week you kind of just, you know, started a little bit. And I missed the guys a lot, man. Just been trying to get right, but it's been exciting.
So that's good. That's really good news. No Will Anderson Jr.
Missed
on
the guys
injury.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah. But he no.
Will strikes me as the kind.
Go ahead.
Will strikes me as the kind of guy that's feels genuinely guilty when he can't play.
Yes.
Like he's not out there with the guys. Like, well, remember, they had to, you know, like he has to be basically physically restrained from practicing at times.
Yeah.
Because he needs to be out there. So I'm happy for him just that he gets to practice.
Yeah. I'm happy for all of us. I thought he'd be limited in practice. I thought, you know, just the nature of the injury, but he's not. That's good. How you feeling going into year two, Will? You more comfortable?
Oh, way more comfortable. I think just going into year two, knowing the scheme better, knowing what to expect a little bit more, knowing like what's going to happen, it gives you a little bit more confidence. And I think I have a really great D-line room, man. It's a bunch of dogs, a bunch of savages, man. And, you know, we really do a good job of feeding off each other and having fun.
The cool thing about Will, if you want to compare him to last year, was that Will, when you go back and watch that game against the Colts in week two, he made a couple of mistakes that I don't think he's going to make this year against the run.
Can't make this year against Anthony Richardson.
Right. Well, and it was when Anthony Richardson was on the field, that second big touchdown run by Anthony Richardson. Unless there was somebody else making a mental error elsewhere, it was probably because Will Anderson was biting on the play fake instead of keeping his contained responsibility. So likewise, Henry Toa-Toa, on the first touchdown run, I think, played in a way that he wouldn't play this year. Those guys were playing very much like rookies. And I think Will, with the work he's put in the offseason as a pass rusher, but also in just really learning NFL football in general, I'm excited to see the difference in him this year compared to week two last year.
Yep, for sure. One more from Will Anderson to Seth's point. What's it been? Will Anderson, I think Seth, you're spot on. I don't think he likes watching practice. I think he likes being out there. How hard was it to sit out the last few weeks?
Yeah, it was. And I think D'Amico, he had put something up in the team room about zooming in and zooming out. And I think right now, just on my zoom out part, just looking at the bigger picture, trying to get myself ready for the whole season and the 18 weeks that we have coming up. And now that I'm back in, I can zoom back in on my details of my job and be a great leader and be a great captain and just be a great teammate overall.
Okay, so the two biggest acquisitions they brought in were Stephon Diggs on the offense and Danielle Hunter on the defense. Which combination now are you more looking forward to watching on Sunday? The combination of the three wide receivers of Dell, Diggs, and Nico Collins, or the combination of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edge?
Oh, that's a great question. I've been guilty of this a lot during training camp, is every now and then I have to remind myself, especially when we're out at practice, man, this is not normal having these three wide receivers out here on the field at the same time. This is something that you just don't see in the NFL. Even on the really great offenses, there's usually a third wide receiver in there who's kind of sprinkled in and gets production just because the other two guys are so good.
Yep.
This is where you've got three genuinely scary dudes that I don't want to. It's become routine for me to see those guys out there together. I do honestly, as excited as I am about Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I'm really kind of pinching myself about what this offense could be. So yeah. I'll have to say the offensive guys, as much as it goes against every fiber of my defensive being, I'm really intrigued by what this offense might be.
The way that you laid that out, I think illustrates it in a way, it illustrates just how crazy the Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter dynamic is, because on any planet, the combination of Diggs, Collins, and Dell is the easy answer. Like, it's what against any combination of defensive ends. Like, what are you talking about? These are three. Like, any of these guys would be a number one wide receiver on a lot of teams in the league. Tank, to your point, Seth, you see these graphics now of the top trios in the league. And Tank Dell, as the, we'll just call him the wide receiver three for this team, just because there needs to be a third one. He's so much better than all the wide receiver threes of these top 10 trios, not of like the bottom feeder teams. Like their third receiver, whoever you pick to be the third receiver, is so much better than the third receiver on these other teams. I think they're like in another universe. And yet you had to think about the answer. That's how good Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson feel coming off the edge. Is like you had to give serious thought. Like they're in that neighborhood as defensive ends, you know, like third down.
I think
third down and long on defense for the Texans is going to be so fun this year.
Yeah, I guess part of it, I think, with Will is I'm holding a little bit in reserve just because is Will would be the first to tell you that, you know, he was far from a finished product last year. And even when he really started pouring it on, it was also when his ankle issue popped up. So I'm kind of holding a little bit in reserve for Will Anderson. I just want to see the complete and total product out there. I was going back and I watched a little bit of the Panthers game from last year, last night, because I just wanted to look at some of the coverage things. That was one of the games that the offense struggled in that.
Yeah.
But Tank Dell, I don't know if you remember, that was the play where Tank Dell caught a short pass to the left, and he hit a spin move that didn't look physically possible. It was like he was running a 4.3 40 while spinning.
Yeah.
And it didn't look right. He doesn't look like a human being when he's running. And that part, I get reminded of every now and then when I go back and watch one of the games from last year. My God, the guy is just, he's a freak of nature. It's not just he's smaller, so he has to make up for it with his speed. Like, he's so fast. It's insane.
The season coming up here, there's a lot of, video surfaces, highlight reels. There's a Danielle Hunter reel yesterday that popped up of all of his sacks from last year. The Tank Dell's U of H highlight reel popped up on social media this weekend, like 3 minutes of Tank Dell highlights from U of H. And I'm watching this. I'm going, how the hell did this guy last till pick 69? Like, these are his college highlights. And he is doing things on here that, like, you watch and you go, okay, this clearly translates to the NFL. Like, I don't care that he's 5'8".
Yeah,
like, it's wild.
And honestly, I don't know where. I think even before the Devontae Smiths of the world, and there's more smaller wide receivers now that are productive outside. They play on the outside. They're not just slot guys. I think a few years ago, Tank might have gone in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Coaches and personnel people really had their blinders on for a long time about what players should or should not be. Quarterback. If you were a 6'4" clod, you had a better chance than Drew Brees, for instance.
Big, strong guy in the pocket. That's what we're looking for. Yeah.
I need a big, strong guy who can sit back there and take the abuse he's definitely going to get because he's not that good a quarterback.
That he can't escape.
He can't get rid of the ball quickly and he can't run. Yeah. I want a guy that is going to own all of his deficiencies.
Yeah, man. I
want a guy who can see up over the top of the offensive lineman so he can see when he throws an interception.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be able to watch the interception,
exactly.
You see.
Man, I think if Tank stays healthy, I think he's going to change the way some teams look at size with wide receivers. Tank still went in the third. It's just wild to me.
Right. I think he's a rubber stamp on a lot of where a lot of teams have been leaning. Now he has to stay healthy though too.
If you're concerned about the size.
Gotta
stay healthy for sure. Speaking of the offense that we're so excited to see, here was C.J. Stroud. He's excited, adding Diggs and Joe Mixon. This was C.J. yesterday.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I think we got to see glimpses in training camp, but now it's full go. Now it's time to roll. And those guys are two of the most competitive guys I've ever been around, and really two of the most joyful guys who just love playing ball, love showing up to work every day and being around the guys, love knowing their teammates and, helping guys out. I know Steph got named a captain, which is huge because, he earned it, and he's one of the biggest leaders on the offense, and I think, Joe would be a captain pretty soon just because his personality and, how he brings guys along, makes guys around him better, challenges his guys, and I think both of those guys have done a great job of buying in the system and growing in the system, and, they're going to do great things.
You're a captain, and you're a captain. You're going to be a captain. Everybody's a captain.
Everybody's going to be a captain. We're going to make this like every sports league is making the playoffs. 50% of the team is a captain.
You're not a captain on the Texans. You ain't nothing. That was good. It's good to hear CJ excited about. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see Mixon as much as the wide receivers. We've seen hardly any of Joe Mixon so far. Doesn't even feel like he's on the team.
Brandon Scott and I started to get into this conversation, then we had to go to break, so we never finished it off. But it is interesting. I think when people watch the conversation that CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs were having on the sideline during the preseason, where if you're a Bills fan, that was proof positive that Stephon Diggs is still the cancer. If you're a Texans fan, especially if you'd been one out to training camp, it just looked like, hey, this is the way these guys talk all the time. It's no big deal. And I do think there is something that sometimes maybe just, you know, different people have different kind of talking styles and discussion styles and everything. And I don't know. There might be, you never know what goes on interpersonally. And maybe at one point when it comes to dealing with conflict or whatever, that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs just didn't converse the right way. Now, I'll put that on, you know, both those guys and Sean McDermott that, okay, you got to figure things like that out.
Together, yeah.
CJ talked yesterday about his ability to have conversations with Bobby Slowick, and he was very careful to point out that it's not like we've ever had issues.
That was
but
interesting.
You just
yeah.
get better. You start trying to. He said at some point, he's like, it's not like I've ever had a filter. it kind of hinted at like maybe there was a little bit of cordial butting of heads over just communication, everything early on. But you get to know each other and you figure out, you know, like how you talk through either disagreement or the way you see the game differently.
Well, and CJ and Bobby Slowick had both said the main thing, the understanding is it for both of them, it comes from a place of wanting to do what's best for the team. It's not CJ wanting to call plays so he can put a sizzle reel together or throw for 5,000 yards. They're both trying to accomplish the same goal, which is the big key.
We'll play some audio later of CJ talking about his relationship with Bobby Slowick that got me. I got a visual in my head that made me very happy. It was really cool.
We will get to that later in the show. Headlines up next. The Astros, they got bombarded last night by the Reds. Texans getting ready. We've got NFL football tonight. We'll get you ready for that. That's all coming up in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. France on third, Fraley on second, Espinal on first, and an 0-2 count to Ahmed Rosario. Hit sharply, but past Jeremy Pena into center field. Two runs are going to score. Chaz McCormick comes in and will underhand it back to Pena. That was sharply hit, but a ball that Jeremy would like to have another shot at.
Yeah, that was tough. That was early in the game. The score was 3-0 at the time. Sharply hit ground ball that I think 2022 Pena comes up with and gets out of the inning. Instead, 2024 Pena, it glances off of his glove. Scorekeeper called it a double. The double made it 5-0. That opened the door to a 9-run first inning, or further opened the door, I guess, to a 9-run first inning. Spencer Arrighetti, just a day after getting named AL Rookie of the Month, gets chased out of the first inning, and the Astros never really threatened in this game. 12-5, the final score. That, Seth, along with a Mariners win, puts the lead in the AL West at a still comfortable 5.5 games in the AL West.
Yeah. I think that, you know, as this always happens after a really ugly loss in baseball, we've had several people point out that it is one. It's just one game, right? We get that. All right. I think though it's a reminder. Like, okay, let's use this one game and that in a 162 game season. That even though Arrighetti had gone 10 plus scoreless innings leading into that game, he is still a rookie in many ways, and the consistency is not going to be quite there compared to perhaps a Justin Verlander, who doesn't look like vintage Justin Verlander right now. But it's a reminder that these are the decisions you're going to have to make going into the playoffs that are hard to make when you've got a lot of unproven guys out there.
It's a great point.
And it's the sky isn't falling or anything. Yeah. It's just a matter of, all right, yeah, let's remember that we'll go on some win streaks, they'll go on some losing streaks, but these are formidable obstacles the Astros have in making a deep playoff run.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're 2 days removed from putting up a poll where Spencer Arrighetti had double the votes of Justin Verlander to be part of the playoff rotation when the playoffs get here. Here was Joe Espada talking about the Reds. He said they were all over Arrighetti last night.
You know what? I thought that they were, and they were on all his pitches. You know, they just, you know, they were not fooled, and they just took some really good swings on him. You know, that's the one that you want to put behind you quickly and get ready for your next one.
Yeah, that's the big thing to me. Like Arrighetti, look, Arrighetti bounced back from a horrific start to the season. To get to where over the last month he was viewed as the best rookie in the sport in the American League. So he's a resilient player. That was bad last night, you know. So I think Spencer Arrighetti, his next start is one that you circle and go, okay, this is something we got to keep an eye on here. Hopefully, this isn't something that that hits his confidence hard, you know?
And honestly, one of the things that just freaks me out the most about this current Astros team is that just Pena's fielding. Because this is, yeah. I mean, this is something that usually it's that's your safe place if you're a good fielder. Bregman, through all of his slumps, you can always say, well, yeah, but at least you got him defensively at third base.
Yes.
When there aren't gremlins in his elbow.
Right.
Which is another thing that's freaking me out a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Pena becoming a minus defender this year was not something I would have put any amount of money on at the beginning of the year. I would think that, yeah, he's going to get better and better over time, just like we saw with Correa. For whatever reason, he's taken a step back. Maybe it's as simple as all of the other shuffling around on the infield. Maybe it's just he's just not as comfortable as he typically is.
With all the other guys around
without him? Without even being able to put a finger on it. Yeah, man. But it's not like, I mean, this team's always used load management and there's always been shuffling. He's got to talk to Framber Sports Psychologist.
He does.
There's something going on there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. All right, so Astros back at it. Noon start today, so we get a little afternoon baseball today. Texans getting ready for the Colts. Sunday, game is at noon. Texans countdown starts at 9 a.m. That'll be me and Seth. And then Clint and I have you for the post game afterwards. You can listen to it all day long on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. Here's D'Amico Ryans on getting ready for the Colts.
As we prepare, right, it's we look at everything. Right? We look at everything. No, Richardson had a sample size of plays, not many. So still a young player in this league, still has a lot ahead of him. All right, a lot of ball ahead of him. But we just go off of what we see. That's all we can do. Focus on what we've seen on tape, and try to work from there.
Now the good news is a big chunk of that small sample size of plays was him piecing the Texans defense in week two. There's plenty of relevant film on your team, D'Amico. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that Richardson's the classic guy that, look, you don't go into a game thinking what we're going to do is shut him down. He's going to have 0 yards rushing. The rushing's going to hurt you here and there. You just like in the passing game with a great passer, you just don't want it to be in huge chunks. And this Texans defense is put together a lot better than the one in week two last year, where even the better players on that team were still learning the defense. So I feel comfortable that you're not going to get those huge runs out of Anthony Richardson. You just got to be sure that when he does run, it's for 5, 6, 7 yards at times.
Yep.
The other thing too is when it comes to game planning for them, it's hard for me to phrase this in a way that people won't take the wrong way or think that I'm saying something different than I am. This Colts offense is not going to be that much different in terms of play calling than it was with Gardner Minshew. And now it will be huge in terms of designed runs. They're going to have some designed runs in there for Anthony Richardson that makes it way different. But the Colts set a record last year for number of RPOs run per game.
Mm.
They were really, so RPOs where you've got the run option, the pass option, the quarterback run option, those things, which Anthony Richardson is kind of a menace when he does those things. The Colts were still running all that stuff that worked with Jalen Hurts when Shane Steichen was in Philadelphia. So they've got film of the looks they'll see. It's just with a different caliber of athlete doing them.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy with and honestly, a better arm than Gardner Minshew. I think I would not sleep on Anthony Richardson's ability to make some really impressive throws. He's not as consistent as they would like, and, that's going to be a work in progress for him. But when it comes to actually scouting the Colts and what Shane Steichen likes to do, they've got a lot from Philadelphia and a lot from last year's Colts that carries over to what Anthony Richardson does or will be doing.
Thursday Night Football tonight. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth, the opener, the Kansas City Chiefs in a rematch of the AFC title game last year, hosting Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. What's the biggest? You're going to watch this game tonight just like I am. What's the biggest thing, like the biggest storyline you're watching this game for tonight for you? What's the most exciting
thing? I think the one thing, I don't know if this is the most exciting one, but just the Chiefs who lost L'Jarius Sneed, but who also didn't play particularly well in the playoff game versus the Ravens. But the Chiefs played a lot more man than people typically try to do against Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And Lamar Jackson struggled with it. Usually he feasts on single high coverage, mm-hmm. and he didn't in that game. So I'm just wondering if Steve Spagnuolo is going to roll out a lot of the same aggressive defense that he did last year, or if they're going to play it closer to the vest. And other than that, it's just that, like, Lamar Jackson hasn't been successful versus the Chiefs. He's 1-3, or is it 1-4? He's won one game versus the Chiefs, yeah. In his career. So they've got they and the Bills as of the last few years. I mean, the Chiefs are just simply the obstacle that they can't conquer.
Yeah, I am very anxious to see exactly what Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson as a combination in the backfield look like, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's it. Yeah. That's the one. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry. That, yeah. I am incredibly intrigued by that.
Me too. Just to see how he's deployed in this game. You know, like what does that combination look like? You've got the most explosive running option at quarterback from the last 5 years with the most explosive running back of the last 5 years. I know Derrick Henry still had 1,200 yards rushing last year. He wasn't peak Derrick Henry, but if that's still in there, if peak Derrick Henry is still in there somewhere, it gets awfully interesting up in Baltimore as to how they deploy that, you know?
Yeah, and Derrick Henry was the second leading rusher in the league behind the worst offensive line
right.
in the league.
So he's a good offensive line, you know?
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson's 1-4 in starts against the Chiefs.
There you go. All right, real quick, Jamar Chase back at practice for you fantasy owners out there. Bill Belichick is on Instagram now for you social media people out there. And Patrick Surtain, 4 years, $96 million, for those of you who are worried about what Derek Stingley might command next season if he has a Pro Bowl season this year. So there you go. Our baseball
his
talk.
His agent's David Mulligetta.
His agent is Mulligetta.
Derek Stingley shares.
Yeah, so he had Mulligetta for sure. Wrote down $496 million. Okay. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. D'Amico Ryans was asked about the rat poison yesterday. The rat poison that the national media and some of us locally have been dishing out. Guess what's getting served in the next segment, D'Amico? Sauteed rat poison for you. It's coming up next. Stay there.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.